just January 10th, 2019, meeting to order.
Dan's here.
Absolutely.
May we have a roll call, please?
Yes. Mr. Strodman?
Yes, ma'am.
Ms. Rushing?
Here.
Ms. Russell?
Here.
Mr. Tuohy? He's here.
Mr. Tuohy is currently indisposed.
Thank you. I am here. Ms. Lowe?
Here.
Mr. Harder?
Here.
Mr. McMahon?
Present.
Mr. Stanton?
Also present.
We have 8.5. We have a quorum.
Thank you, Ms. Burns. Mr. Zinner, are there any adjustments or additions to the agenda?
No, there are not.
Thank you. Can I get a motion to approve the agenda?
I move to approve the agenda.
Second.
Thank you. Moved by Mr. McMahon, seconded by Ms. Russell. Any discussion on that? Seeing none, can I get a thumbs up approval on the agenda? Thank you. Approval of minutes. Everyone should have received a copy of the December 20th meeting minutes in advance. Does anyone have any corrections or changes? Mr. Stanton.
I move to approve the minutes.
Thank you.
Second.
Second by Ms. Russell. Any discussion? Just following Mr. Caldera's role here. Thumbs up approval of the minutes. Thank you. Moving on to public hearing portion of the meeting. Case 36-2019, a request by the Columbia Public Schools seeking permanent R1 zoning upon annexation of approximately 16.95 acres into the city. The school property consists of two separate tracts, the primary elementary school property in a 40-foot by 225-foot stem connecting to the Rock Bridge Memorial State Park to the south. Both tracts are currently zoned A1 agricultural. May we have a staff report, please?
Yes, thank you, Madam Chair. So as you said, Columbia Public Schools is seeking annexation of their property. It's a total of 16.95 acres. It's currently zoned A1, I believe, in the county. I'll get to that again in a moment. But real quick, public notice. Public info meeting was held on the 18th. A number of neighboring property owners were there. Just curious about the purpose and kind of the implications of the annexation. This public hearing was advertised on Christmas Day. And there were 14 property owner letters sent to those same folks who got the postcards for the PI meetings. So the property is contiguous to the city along the edge of the stem, which I'm pointing to now. That's the one location that is currently contiguous. The purpose for the annexation is for the school. They wish to be served by city police and law enforcement. Currently, I believe, since they're in the county, they'd be served by the Sheriff's Department. And there are resource officers stationed at Rockbridge High School, which is obviously just down the street. And, you know, for a number of reasons, but mainly, time for answering calls. I forget what.
School resource officer,
yeah.
In essence.
So they'd be closer and easier to access the elementary school in the event that they were needed. So the property is currently served by city sewer. However, it is served by Boone Electric and Consolidated Water. As you may know, a lot of the properties out here are in kind of an area that's mixed as far as service, but most of the properties you see on the aerial photo there are served by city sewer. So that one aspect of that is important because a number of those properties are under annexation agreements. Which brings us to the next point here. So staff at the concept review meeting expressed concerns to the applicant about the requirement in Missouri revised state statutes to be compact and contiguous. However, the applicant pointed to the neighboring properties that would be triggered, their annexation agreements would be triggered. This map shows those properties. All the hatched areas are properties adjacent to or subsequently adjacent to this property, meaning that they would be part of the domino effect, if you will, of annexations becoming eligible, properties becoming eligible for annexations. So they have all signed an agreement to annex upon becoming contiguous. However, the catch here is that it's council's prerogative on which properties, if any, they would want to seek that the annexation. So just because they become contiguous doesn't necessarily mean that they are automatically annexed. But basically by annexing this one property, all of these in one way or another will eventually become eligible for annexation. So the applicant pointed to these properties as a kind of a logic behind their compact and contiguous argument. So they've decided to move forward, and basically it'll be up to council to determine if they believe that's the case and if they wish to move forward with the annexation. So that's just some background information, but tonight we are just discussing the zoning aspect again, as we've mentioned many times. So the requested zoning again, current zoning is A1, and they are requesting R1 zoning. It is consistent with the A1 zoning, but it would allow more density if the school were ever to be redeveloped. So basically A1 in the county allows agriculture uses and then a home as a an accessory use, if you will, to an ag use. So you're allowed to have a farmhouse as long as you have a farm. So then A2, which some of the properties adjacent would allow residences just generally, I believe, on a 2.5 acre lot or larger. In this case, again, it would require that the school be, you know, torn down and redeveloped, and it would allow, you know, the 7,000 square foot lot, and, you know, 17 units per acre. But that's not the intent here. It's just, like I said, to get the school into the city. So on the comprehensive plan, the property is designated neighborhood district. The purpose of the neighborhood district is for residential uses and then uses that serve the residences in those neighborhoods, and a school, I believe, fits quite well in that package. Just to close it out, schools are permitted in R1, so that's not a conflict at all either. So as I said, it's consistent with the comprehensive plan and compatible with adjacent zoning and with the existing zoning on the property. And so staff's recommendation is to approve the requested R1 zoning upon annexation of the property. So I'd be happy to answer any questions if you have any.
Before we ask any staff questions, I'd like to ask if there was any expertise prior to this meeting related to case 36-2019. Have the commissioner please disclose that now so all commissioners have the same information to consider on behalf of this case in front of us. Seeing none, are there any questions for staff? Mr. Strodman.
Thank you. Mr. Palmer, can you explain the stem? Is there any reason for the stem or rationale for the stem?
So the stem is actually, I believe, purchased by the school as a means of accessing the state park. So I believe there's a trail that runs from the school property down through there.
There is.
Yeah. Thank you.
And you can see it on the map, but there is a trail that goes into Rockbridge, connects with Rockbridge, and they use the park for teaching purposes.
Thank you.
Mr. McMahon.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Mr. Palmer, I can think of two other CPS properties that are currently outside of the city, Roachport and Midway. Do we have any others that are lingering on the edges that might? Because I don't know all the schools. I know a lot of them. Are there any others that are in this kind of situation or close to being in this type of situation? Is the New Haven school, and that's the one that comes to mind.
New Haven is inside.
It's in the city?
It's in the city, if I am correct. Two Mile Prairie would be the other one that I'm aware of, but Two Mile Prairie is nowhere similar to this where it's contiguous, would be potentially contiguous with the city property. Midway is not either.
Yeah, that's not, those are both
removed
away
from the city's corporate limits. So I think this may be the only one at this point that is in this
situation. I'm just trying to see if we're going to start seeing a cascade of this type of thing. That's what I'm trying to explore that option now.
I don't believe so, but Mr. Crockett may be able to respond to that as the district's on-call engineer at this point.
That's my question. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. McMahon. Any additional questions for staff? Seeing none, we will open up public comments.
Madam Chair, members of the Commission, Tim Crockett, 1000 West Nifong. Yes, to answer a couple of questions, Mr. McMahon, the only other two schools that I'm aware that are outside the city limits are indeed Two Mile Prairie and Midway, and they're miles from the city limits, so I don't envision that to be an issue there at all. And Mr. Schottman, with regard to the STEM lot, it was purchased by the Columbia Public School District, or obtained, I don't know if they purchased it or someone granted it to them, but it was decades ago, many, many years ago, for the purpose to have access to the state park. And so it wasn't something that the district has recently purchased to find a STEM, to find a route to the city limits, and that's certainly not the case. And so you were certainly aware of the state statute that calls for annexations. And again, this is a zoning before you, but to explain, contiguous, compact and contiguous. And if you step back a little bit, we don't have a good example of it, or a good exhibit showing it. But if you step back just a little bit and you looked at where the city limits is currently, we're kind of annexing back into a pocket of county. So we have city limits kind of coming around on two sides of this property. So while we are not necessarily contiguous on the bulk of the property, it is what I would say compact with the existing set of limits, because we're kind of going back into a pocket of county. So again, the exhibit that shows here some other areas that are under pre-annexation agreement with the city. I believe several of those properties are already contiguous to the city already. So if the city council so desired, I think several of these properties could already be annexed even without the Columbia Public Schools. With that, again, we're asking for R1, which is comparable to what we typically would ask for on a standard rezone or annexation. So I'd be happy to answer any additional questions.
Any questions? Mr. McMahon.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Mr. Crockett, you may be familiar with the kerfuffle Mr. Gephardt ran into when annexation agreements were triggered. We didn't have anyone here. Mr. Pomper didn't say anything. In your interactions with the community, or did you have any that people expressing concern for that triggering?
I was not at the public information meeting. I had another individual from my office that was there. I think there was more questions about it, but I don't think necessarily that I've heard any concerns or major grumblings about that issue with this annexation.
Just trying to see what the land lays
sure,
like. Before
absolutely.
We
I believe
open that door again.
Right. I believe the neighbors out there obviously were they know about the request, and I think I have not heard anything. I don't think the staff has had any further correspondence with them, so I don't foresee that being a major issue that I know of at this time.
All right, thank you.
Any additional questions for Mr. Crockett? Seeing none, thank you, sir. We will close public discussion if there's no additional comments. Commissioner discussion.
I'm going to make a motion. In the case of 36-2019, I move to approve the permanent R1 zoning upon annexation.
Second.
Second by Mr. Stanton. We have a motion on the floor. Any discussion on this motion? Mr. McMahon.
During this discussion period, it's fine. It works out just fine. I have a quick question for staff, if I may. Mr. Palmer or Mr. Zinner. With Sinclair, we were committed to the school down there, the new school to be, the middle school. We're committed to a significant infrastructure investment over time. Most of that is built out, and maybe if Mr. Crockett, are we incurring another infrastructure commitment by doing this? I think we're already, we got the road, we got the sewer, we got the power. Sidewalks would come to mind.
It was explained to them at the concept meeting, if they were to replat, then we would ask for items like that, namely right-of-way along 163 along the north edge. That's the location of the future Gants Creek extension, mm-hmm. So it's a fairly major roadway that would be coming through there. So
that's one of the reasons I asked that question, because that
actually causes some issues with spacing on their property, but that would be...
They've got a lot of property.
Yeah, well, that would be, you know, in the future at some undetermined point at this time, and also...
But there's nothing right up on bat.
Yeah.
Okay. So I just wanted to make sure.
At this time, none of that would be triggered.
Thank you. Thank you for that concession there.
Any additional comments? Discussion on the motion? Seeing none, may we have roll call, please?
Yes. Mr. Strodman?
Yes.
Ms. Rushing?
Yes.
Ms. Russell?
Yes.
Mr. Tuohy?
Yes.
My vote is yes. Ms. Lowe?
Yes.
Mr. Harder?
Yes.
Mr. McMahon?
Yes.
Mr. Stanton?
Yes.
9-0, motion carries.
Thank you, Ms. Burns. Recommendation for approval will be forwarded to City Council. That closes our business for this meeting. Are there any comments of the public? Seeing none, any comments of the staff?
Yes, there are. Your next meeting is January 24th. We will add one item. We're going to slowly get back to more work for you. It will be a regular work session at 5:30. We do have a scheduled discussion for our rock quarry stakeholder group report. This is the improvements, the report required to be prepared for the Rock Quarry Road scenic overlay. At 5:30, we'll have that. And then we will proceed to a 7 p.m. meeting for just two cases. One subdivision case, Woodsong Subdivision. This is a revised preliminary plat of a project that you actually have previously approved that had a final plat submitted to us, but the final plat was a major deviation from the approved preliminary, and therefore they're starting at square one again with a revised preliminary. And then we will have a public hearing on River Region Credit Union. This is a vacant tract of land that is at the southwest corner of Broadway and Fairview on the west side of town near the Hy-Vee. This is a plan amendment to readjust the building placement on a property that has already been rezoned into a single consolidated plan district. If I recall correctly, it was zoned CP with a set of use restrictions on it. So nothing major on this particular project, but because it is a major adjustment to the actual layout of the building, it did trigger the overall requirements of a major amendment, meaning it needs to come back and be reapproved by both the commission and council under our new procedures. And it will also update the project to be compliant with the new PD standards of the UDC that we adopted in March of 17. Additionally, we did not get to two items that were on your work session agenda this evening that were just report items that I wanted to report out to you. You were selected as the beneficiaries and recipients of some work from City Council at its meeting two meetings ago now. And they have to deal with a review of the zoning code as it relates to the Greektown area, that area that is predominantly identified as being bounded by Providence on the west, Burnham on the north, Tiger on the east, and then Kentucky on the south. That block of property that is Greektown Haven, where we have seen multiple variances over the course of time, and our Board of Adjustment had requested that the Planning Commission take up concerns that they identified as having unnecessary variances due to the history in the area being presented to them, resulting generally in the same actions by the board. And they requested council give consideration to that and asked that the Planning Commission be assigned the task of looking at how would we, the commission, propose to alter the zoning regulations specifically for that bounded area. The Board of Adjustment would also like to have an opportunity to meet with you in work session to discuss their observations and then to hear some input from you all. That'll be scheduled sometime in the near future. I would expect not before the end of March due to our other work that we have. But that is one project that was assigned to you 2 weeks ago by council to ask you to come back with a recommendation for amendments to the zoning code. And the second item that was provided to you came to us from the Rockbridge Christian Church board in relationship to an item that is unique maybe to churches that have commercial kitchens within them, and the ability for a church utilizing their commercial kitchen as an outreach opportunity for job training or even for small business startups. This is currently not allowed in the zoning code. You can have a commercial kitchen in a church, and you may have a daycare as an accessory use that utilizes that kitchen, but you cannot lease out that kitchen space, that commercial kitchen space, to a commercial business. That's just not an allowed use in the residential zoning districts where we have churches located. So council, at the request of Rockbridge Christian Church, and then supported by CMCA, has asked that the council assign to the commission the task of reviewing the zoning code as it relates to potentially creating standards that would allow commercial kitchens in churches to be utilized for commercial purposes. Again, this will be an item that will probably not come back to the commission until sometime in March or later. We do have a couple of ideas at the staff side at this point as it relates to how that may actually be able to be integrated and not create a burden in a residential environment that we will provide you at that point.
Blue Ridge.
I believe Mr. Caldera has something you'd like to add.
So as it pertains to the Rockbridge Christian Church request, I am a member of Rockbridge Christian Church and have actually spoken with them on the initial front of this. So Pat and I have discussed, and I'm going to recuse myself from any legal guidance on that or drafting that will be assigned to another attorney. So I will be at the meeting when you guys discuss this, but if you have any inquiries, know that it's going to go to someone else and come back from someone else.
No need to ask if there was ex parte communication, Mr. Chairman. We have taken care of that internally. With that, that is all that we have to offer this evening in the way of work and upcoming assignments, as well just to tie off what we were discussing this evening as it related to our low-medium medium-income housing incentive discussion. We will bring that back as well. I would expect that to come back before the end of February. We will get that on probably the last Planning and Zoning Commission agenda for work session in February due to our other items that we have coming up on January 24 and then our March 7th discussion, which will be entirely a short-term rental. I would like to also advise at this point, and we will reiterate it on the 24th, we do not have any formal business items for the February 7th meeting. That does not, however, excuse you all from being in attendance for the work session, given that that is when we will be discussing short-term rental. So we do ask you to be here for the work session. We will have our standard meal and then hopefully be able to get out by about 7 p.m. that night with no formal public hearing meeting, since we do not have any items for that agenda. With that, that is all that we have to offer. Thank you very much, Ms. Chairman.
Thank you. With that, are there any comments of commissioners? Mr. McMahon.
My fellow commissioners have no comments or questions. Ms. Russell would like me to make a motion, and I will. I move that we adjourn.
Second.
Seconded by Mr. Stanton.
Wait, that's what you
I think we're done.